Thank you for joining us this evening on the podcast. Coming to you live from the Gutterman Estates, located on the third fairway of the Louisville Country Club, with a stunning view of the lake. Today, our host, Michael Gutterman, will have a very cerebral discussion with you about photography, his philosophies on life, his thoughts on poverty, and those who do not shoot Leicas and Leica gloss, while he sips a lovely Chardonnay. I'm just goofing with you. It's Mike Gutterman. He's in the Gutter Man Cave. He's drinking cheap-ass beer. He's shooting APS film. And this is the Negative Positives Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 219. I am your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's a Tuesday morning, I guess, when this thing's coming out. Why is there an episode on a Tuesday morning? Well, this is like old school Negative Positives, I guess, where I used to just put up like, 17 episodes a week or whatever. This has been a strange week as far as podcasting and the podcasting schedule. And so the midweek episode that comes out on Thursday morning is kind of a show where we're going to have Simon Forster from the Classic Lenses podcast on as a guest. It was a podcast that happened just kind of out of the blue. It wasn't supposed to be a podcast, but it became a podcast. So I have him coming on as a just me and him, an interview podcast that wasn't supposed to happen that kind of happened. So because that's going to be a little bit of a long midweek episode, I needed to get up a kind of a short one here to kind of do some house cleaning because we've got a lot of things going on. So I'm kind of throwing in two solo episodes this week, so hopefully you can bear with me on that. But I just got a lot of stuff that I need to get out that I won't really make sense in the show with Simon Forster that I'm going to put out on Thursday morning. So a little bonus this week, and hopefully I'm not overstaying my welcome, because I know the episode with Mike Rosso from the Film Photography Project was super awesome and just super thrilling to have him on. But it was a long one; it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. So. But you know what? I guess if you listen to this podcast, you know that if we do nothing else, if we do not offer quality, we definitely offer quantity. So we can provide that for you. But let's jump straight into some of the house cleaning things I want to get to. The very first thing is, and the main thing that the reason why I wanted to get out of podcast this morning is Sean Nelson from UtahFilmPhotography.com. Obviously, he is the man, the legend that is helping us with the Negative Positives Double Exposure Tag Team Challenge, the second annual that we have just now kind of announced. And so Sean has got the Google Forms ready to go. You can now sign up for the Negative Positives Double Exposure Tag Team Challenge. If you go to the Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group, and if you look at, when you go to that that group, if you just click on announcements, in the announcements is like the sign up for, you'll find the sign up for the Negative Positives Double Exposure Tag Team Challenge, either if you're competing as an individual or competing as a podcast to challenge the Negative Positives in the Film Podcasters Challenge. Those forms are available to sign up. He did have an issue today that he just sent me an email about, where the forms were not registering the emails. They had like 24 people sign up already, just like the first day he put it out, and the emails weren't registering. So he has changed the form to make sure that happens. So if you're one of the first like 24 people that signed up, please go back to the form and re-sign up. I think he's probably already contacted the people that that didn't get their emails, because he communicates this whole thing through email. So if you've signed up really early in this double exposure challenge, make sure you get back on there, maybe re-sign up with your email, because I think he's got it all worked out now. So, but another thing he's going to do, for those that may be listening to this that do not, are not on the Facebook group, just absolutely hate Facebook. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, Facebook is what it is. But, you know, if you're not on the Facebook group, the Negative Positives Facebook group, you're kind of missing a lot of how the show kind of interacts with the community. But that's fine. You hate Facebook. That's fine. But Sean is actually going to post, I believe, maybe tomorrow, Tuesday or maybe Wednesday. I'm not sure when exactly. He will be posting the links to sign up for the challenge on his website, which is www.utahfilmphotography.com, and he'll have a way to you won't have to even do a Facebook if you hate it that much, and you can just go to his website and sign up for the double exposure tag team challenge, whether you're an individual wanting to be paired with somebody or a fellow film podcaster that wants to compete with the Negative Positives in the Film Podcasters Challenge. There'll be a way to do that through his website, which is, again, utahfilmphotography.com. That should be up in the next day or so. And we only have till April 17th to sign up. So you got like 15 days to sign up. So if you're wanting to do this, definitely kind of get on that and sign up for it. And so, yeah, it's really cool stuff. And also, I guess I can go ahead and spill the beans here. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but obviously there was a kind of an April Fool's gag that a good part of the film podcast community tried to pull off on Monday, April 1st, and about all of us joining up and creating a podcast monopoly, and with some ridiculously long podcast name, and how we were going to put up episodes like every day and all this. And some of you probably didn't fall for it. Maybe some of you did, but it was awful fun, and to kind of see the comments and all that. So it was a fun little gag, whether anybody fell for it or not. The good thing was about it is it kind of got a lot of us film photography podcasters to kind of like, you know, have a good communication with each other, and opened up a lot of channels. So I can see a lot of interaction between the film podcast community going forward through just kind of this gag we tried to pull off, mostly due to M. M was the big instigator on this, and so you can blame M from emulsive.org for this debacle we tried to pull off on April 1st, April Fool's Day. But so yeah, and obviously too, like I think the double exposure challenge, one thing that Andre and I wanted to accomplish with challenging the other film podcasts out there is to open up these channels to get all the film podcast community to kind of you know, interact a little more, because I think it's nothing but helpful and positive if we can all kind of promote each other and just be more interactive with each other. There's nothing but positive that can come out of that, because that's what we kind of want the whole film community to do, right? Just to be interactive and interact with each other. So, let's see here. What else I need to mention? Oh yeah, Ted Smith. He has started a website, and it's going to be super useful. And he's got it up and running. It's the filmphotographersmap.com, thefilmphotographersmap.com. And I encourage everyone that listens to this podcast, please go to that website and put in your information about where you're located, because this is going to be, I think, a really helpful and essential kind of thing to help find other film photographers that in your area. If you want to do like photo walks or just meet up with somebody or just chat with somebody in your area about places to go shoot or just a similar interest or whatever, this is a perfect way to bring the community together. And I think anything like this is a very positive thing in this community. And so he's done a really good job at this website. And so we thank Ted Smith for doing this. And but yeah, check out the filmphotographersmap.com, and please sign up for that, man. Just sign in and give your location and get you an account there, and then you can meet up with other film photographers in your local area, which will make it a lot easier to, you know, coordinate things, maybe get some photo walks or make some film photo clubs or whatever, or share some darkroom time together or whatever. Like, there's so many good ways you can meet up with people in your area. And I think it's a great idea for a website. And I think it's going to be extremely helpful to the film community. So again, thanks to Ted Smith for that. So, okay, I have a couple emails that I need to get to, so I'm going to pull those up. So let me get those pulled up, and I'll take a break, and I'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, we're back from the break, and we got a couple of emails I want to get to on this episode, and then I guess later I'm going to do a call-in camera view, and that's probably what the show is pretty much going to be, but let's get to the emails. The first one's from George Larkins, and he has sent an email, a nice little email here. It says, greetings, Michael, Andre, and film photography fans far and wide. I want to begin by thanking the sponsor and co-host of this fine program for their unwavering commitment to keeping film photography thriving. As a young, poor street urchin, I could never afford the slick pro film cameras of the 1970s and 80s. I took an occasional snapshot with a third hand point and shoot and ordered some double prints at the drive-through photo mat. Wow, that sounds a lot like my experience of my early photography days. And he says, fast forward to the year 2000 and a career as a professional video guy. I always used Sony gear, and when it came time to buy a DSLR, I bought a 10-megapixel A200. I started scouring Craigslist for A-mount lenses that were dirt cheap and usually had a Minolta body attached. I would use the lenses and just toss the camera bodies in a box. Later, I upgraded to an A65 and now own an A7 III, three eyes or whatever. I don't know, these Sony designations. But and he continues, a few years back, I decided to go through my dozen or so film bodies. I picked up a cheap row of Kodak Gold 400 and shot it just for fun. My digital A200 provided me with the opportunity to learn about aperture, shutter speed, and ISO that was familiar in my video cameras. My first photos were not that great, but with practice and a ton of YouTube videos, I got the hang of shooting film photography. I cleaned up those bodies and fixed light leaks or had full CLA performed as needed. Since then, I have grown my Minolta collection to about 20 cameras, as well as one Canon 650 EOS, a Nikon F3, and three Mamiya 645 medium format cameras. It's great fun exploring new film stocks. I do not develop, although I appreciate all that goes into doing so. The folks at thedarkroom.com do a wonderful job, and I'm happy to support their fine work. When my files come back, I sometimes post the best in raw form, but more often edit and enhance in Lightroom, Photoshop using plugins of the Nik collection, it's N-I-K collection, or ON1 Photo Raw Post-Processing. Even when I goof on exposure or focus, which happens less often these days, it can be an experiment in creativity to push the image using all types of effects. We are starting to do some meetups for film shooting for folks located here in Southeast Michigan. I'll be sure to update as it grows. I still find my digital cameras useful for some applications like client work or shooting birds, but prefer the calm speed and composition detail required of film photography. I hope you have a great response to the double exposure challenge and help further the bonding of the film photography community. Keep on fighting the good fight and enriching the film photography community. George Larkins. I am not on the book of faces, Facebook, but can be found at GeoVision III. It says that's with three lowercase i's on the Instagram. So it's GeoVision III. GeoVision III, lowercase i's on Instagram. Email is George Larkins at msn.com. Well, thank you so much, George, for this this email. There's a lot going on in there, and I really appreciate it. It's funny because the episode I'll have coming up for the actual midweek episode with Simon Forrester, we did a lot of digital talk, and I'm a little worried about what fans of the show might think, because there's a lot of digital talk in the upcoming midweek episode, because we're in the process of kind of upgrading our digital camera, because my wife wants to do that at some point soon. So and not that I won't get some use out of it. I'm actually thinking of using it as a possible scanning option, at least for black and white films. So you'll hear that on the midweek episode with Simon Forrester. But it sounds like you kind of went through the same thing that a lot of us have done is growing up. Or I remember when I first got into film photography, these cameras that I lusted after were so expensive and way out of my price range. And now I've been able to obtain a lot of my dream cameras due to the fact that the film cameras are just a lot cheaper nowadays. Now they're not so much anymore. The last couple of years, we're definitely seeing an uptick in the pricing on these film cameras, but that's fine. I think that's a good sign. The fact that these film cameras are getting a little more expensive, it means the film photography community is growing and people are checking it out. So, as much as I hate the fact that I can't get some of these pro body cameras that I used to lust after for as cheap as I could like 2 years ago, I'm actually fine with it. I got enough cameras. I'm good. But thank you so much, George, for the email and continued success in your film photography. I've been following George on Instagram, and it's been good stuff. So always good to hear from you. So love getting these emails. So thank you, George. Also, we have let me get out of this. Open up my emails here. Where is it at? Oh yeah, Ian Fleming. He has sent in a response about the episode with Mike Rosso that came out, I guess, yesterday. Wow, I'm losing track of days now. It's been a podcasting marathon for me in the last 4 days. But Ian Fleming has written in, Mike, Andre, thanks for Neil Piper's 126 question and 126 shout out. I'm also a 126 revival man. Thanks to Mike Rosso's encouragement. I'm sure we will all get there with reviving 126. It's a lovely format. Thanks, Ian Fleming. Well, thank you so much, Ian, for the email. And actually, Ian has sent in several call-in camera views talking about some of these Instamatic cameras and formats. And it's funny that I got this email because today in the mail on my porch today was one of the Facmatic adapters to adapt 126 film use 35 millimeter and 126 cameras. And I have a couple of 126 cameras that it was given to me by a listener, Jeff St. Ange. And thank you, Jeff, so much for the couple of Instamatic Kodak cameras you sent me, the X15 and the X15F, which apparently is the camera that's very usable with the Facmatic adapters for 126 film. So I got my adapter. So sometime in the near future, I want to load that adapter up and put some 35 millimeter film in it and shoot this Instamatic X15 and X15F from the Jeff St. Ange. So graciously gifted me. So super awesome stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I'm still definitely leading the APS revival, but maybe if it ever cools down, which I don't think it will. It's taken over the film podcast community or the film photography community by storm. But maybe my next revival will be to help Ian Fleming and join him on the 126 revival, which I'm sure is just starting to bubble up. And so we'll see where that goes. But anyway, thank you, Ian, for the emails and the call-in camera reviews that we'll be getting to sometime in an upcoming episode. So always good to hear from your brother. So I think speaking of call-in camera reviews, I want to find one to put in this podcast. So I will take a break and look at which one's up next. I will say this: if you send in call-in camera reviews, they all get used. They will all eventually be played. But sometimes it might take a month and a half, 2 months. I don't know. I play them in order that I receive them. And so I go from the oldest to the newest one we've received, but they all get used. It just might take a while because about the only place we can kind of fit in these call-in camera views is kind of on the solo shows. So so it takes us a while to get to them, but we got about 5, 6, 7 in the backlog right now. So, but they will all get used. So don't let that deter you from sending in a call-in camera review. They definitely all make it on the show or any review or any sort of call-in you want to send into this podcast. It'll definitely all get used. Just send in a voice recording to negpositives@gmail.com, or you can do a 1 minute call in on the Anchor app to Negative Positives. So whichever way you want to do it, it'll all get used. Trust me, it'll make this show. So all right, let me take a break and find out which call in camera view is next, and I'll be right back, folks. Hello, folks. We're back from the break and finally found the call-in camera review that's up next, and it is Mr. Mac McDonald. He is going to review the Nikon FE2, and Mac has been very active on the Facebook group recently, the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group, and his enthusiasm is quite infectious. Does really good YouTube videos, just really superb photography, a lot of portrait photography, and work with models and stuff, and just really good stuff. And I definitely want to have Mac on a future episode of the Negative Positives very soon. But let's check out what Mac has to say about the Nikon FE2.
Hey guys, Mac McDonald, aka Mac Shoots Film, over on YouTube and Instagram. This is my first call-in camera review, and I'm pretty excited. Hopefully I don't mess it up. All right, let's jump right into it. So the camera I'm going to be talking about today is the Nikon FE2. The Nikon FE2 is a manual focus SLR that comes in chrome or black. Now, before we jump into the specs, I do want to say that while I review the specs, I kind of want to sprinkle in why I purchased this camera based on those specs. All right, so right out of the gate, the one thing that sold me on this camera, actually the only thing, was the shutter speed. It is a 1/4000th of a second shutter. It's a titanium honeycomb pattern shutter that is vertically traveling. So vertically traveling means that it can traverse that film gate super fast. Actually, this is one of the fastest to traverse the film gate. It can do it in 3.3 milliseconds, which is twice the speed of any other vertically traveling shutter that Nikon had made at the time. For me, shutter speed is so important because I'm primarily a portrait photographer. And what I want to do when I'm shooting portraits is isolate the background as much as possible and distractions and really have you focus on the subject. And how I do that is shooting wide open. And shooting wide open in daylight requires you to have a really fast shutter speed. Previously, I was shooting with a Nikon F3. The Nikon F3 only had 1/2000th of a second shutter speed. So if I'm going to shoot 400 speed film at f1.4, 1/2000th of a second shutter is not going to cut it for me. How I was working around that was using a variable neutral density filter, you know, and artificially darkening the scene, which effectively made it much more difficult for me to manually focus. You know, coming from digital to film and jumping into manual focus SLRs, manual focus is something that was difficult for me in the beginning. I'm getting much better at it, but, you know, having to add, you know, a dark piece of glass to the lens only amplified my difficulties in focusing. So it's an amazing shutter on this guy. I can shoot fast as I want. Worst case scenario, I'm stopping down to F2, and I can stay within the 4,000th of a second shutter speed of the Nikon FE2. Another awesome thing about the FE2 is the flash sync speed. It is 1/250th of a second. Now, at the time, this was the fastest flash sync speed in the world, and Nikon had one-upped itself from 1/200th of a second, which it had in the FM2. And I think the FM2s were eventually upgraded, and some of them had a 1/250th of a second. But, you know, I read on the internet, and of course, everything on the internet is absolutely true. So that was pretty cool because I do like shooting some flash photography sometimes. It's TTL metered, center weighted. And one thing I love about the metering is it's a matchstick needle meter in the viewfinder. You know, coming from the F3, which has that little hokey LCD, which is impossible to see in lower light. Of course, you can press the little red button on the F3 to illuminate the LCD, but my fat fingers cannot press that extremely tiny little red button to illuminate that LCD readout. So the matchstick is a welcome option within the FE2. One of the things about the FE2 that I had to get used to is the film advance lever is also the on switch, essentially. So what you do is you just slide your thumb under it, pop it out just a little bit, bam, it's on, ready to fire. I hated it at first, but I love it now because my thumb naturally sits underneath it when it's popped open, and I can take a shot and rapidly yank my thumb backwards and advance the film, and I'm right back firing. And whenever I'm done, I can just pull my thumb out, push it down, put it in my bag, and not have to worry about taking random shots of the inside of my camera bag in the dark. Back to that shutter, you know, they dampened it so well that there's almost no shutter slap. So think, this is a titanium shutter moving across the entire film gate at 3.3 milliseconds, and there's pretty much no vibration in this thing. It is an engineering marvel. You know, and they chose that titanium because it's impervious to corrosion, humidity, you know, scorching sunlight, and all kinds of other extraneous factors. Now, it is an aperture priority camera, which is awesome, and it has a pretty intuitive exposure lock right beside the lens, a little lever that you can just press in, hold it, and it will lock that exposure. You know, grab your focus, grab your exposure, lock the exposure by pushing in the lever, and then recompose, and you're good to go. It has a self-timer, has bulb mode. All in all, this is an amazing camera. If any of this sounds desirable to you and you're considering buying the FE2, it would behoove you greatly to make that purchase as soon as possible. I made the jump back 100% into film photography in approximately July or August of last year, and the cameras I bought then, I decided to buy a second version of each one of them here in the past few weeks, you know, because that old saying, one is none, two is one, and every camera that I've purchased, the price has gone up on, and specifically point and shoots as well. So if you're looking to buy a camera now, I'd say jump all over it. Great camera, 4,000th of a second shutter, 250th of a second sync speed, ASA, you can set it from 12 to 4,000, really intuitive film advance shutter lock, dampened shutter, TTL center weighted metering with that awesome matchstick meter, aperture priority with exposure lock, self-timer, bulb mode. It's a great camera. Nikon really outdid themselves. And for the current price, it's a tremendous value. I can't recommend it enough. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to me ramble. Hope I didn't tear this up. If you want to see my work, please check me out on YouTube, Mac Shoots Film. And it's the same name over on Instagram, Mac Shoots Film. All right, guys, stay positive and shoot some awesome film photos.
Well, thank you, Mac McDonald, so much for the call and camera view. And I wholeheartedly agree when he was talking about having a second version of some of the film cameras he likes a lot that he's recently fell in love with or whatever. I agree. Like these things are, they're not getting cheaper, folks. Like if there's a camera that's really kind of essential to your process, not a bad idea to have a backup. I know that film camera prices have been increasing. I would love to have a backup to like my Pentax 6.7. Probably not going to happen because they're quite pricey. But I did have to like move. Like I've been looking at a Pentax 6.7 for several years, and they just kept going up. It's like, you know what, Mike? The longer you wait, it's just going to keep getting more expensive. So I end up pulling the trigger, and glad that I did because you know, you're probably not going to lose money on these things. So, but if there is a certain camera that is kind of essential to your shooting, not a bad idea to have a backup of those before the prices keep escalating, because that's what they seem to be doing. But thank you so much, Mac, for the call and camera view, and We got to get you on the show soon, man. It should be a good episode. I'd love to talk to you a lot about your processes and all that stuff. So, I'm going to take one more break and talk about one little thing I kind of promised about talking about on a past episode. So, we're going to do one more break, and then we'll finally wrap up this the solo show that was supposed to be short and now has become long. It just happens. Whatever. So, all right, we'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, we're back for the final segment, and I think I mentioned on a previous episode that I was we obviously host this podcast through Anchor, which has done a really good job about making it easy for people to start podcasts, and I think a lot of the film photography podcasts that started up in the last couple of years have really benefited from the Anchor platform. And I mentioned that Anchor has recently kind of sent us some sort of analytics to kind of help see who's listening to the episodes and all that stuff. And it's been kind of cool to see. The interesting thing is Anchor was bought out by Spotify, a month or so ago. And we haven't really seen any major changes yet. But, so far the Anchor app has been free to podcast, free to host, all this stuff. And so we don't know if Spotify buying Anchor is going to try to change that model or how this is going to affect the future of us using Anchor as a podcast hosting service. But Andre and I are pretty committed to whatever happens. We're going to stick to doing this podcast, and hopefully we can stay on Anchor and keep providing this podcast without any cost to us. Other than our time and our long hours of editing and all that, hopefully that's the most we have to give. But if Anchor was to go away or start charging, then maybe we'd have to look at other options. But I'm pretty sure that Andre and I are pretty committed to keeping this thing going regardless of the future of Anchor. Now that Spotify has bought them. But one thing that has changed is they started again kind of have some analytics about who's listening or whatever. So I kind of found this interesting. And just in case you guys are interested, I'm just going to throw this out here. But so far at this point, as far as geographic location of our listeners, 61% of our listeners are in the United States. And I don't think that's any surprise. I think if you talk to Sunny 16, they would probably see a bigger margin of their listeners are probably in the UK. I'm not sure. It'd be interesting to find that out. But we have 14% of our listeners from the United Kingdom, 5% from Canada. And that's probably just the classic camera revival guys, that 5%, and Sherry Christensen. And then we have 4% from Australia, 1% from Germany, 1% from Netherlands, 1% from Switzerland, and it just keeps on going down. But the bulk seems to be from the United States. Also, an interesting thing was, it seems that over like 50% of the listeners are listening to this podcast through Apple Podcasts. So it's like 53%. And then other was like 25% or 7% on Podbean, 5% Overcast. And then Spotify is like 4%. So yeah, it seems like most people are listening on Apple Podcasts, and we have over half our listeners in the United States. So just kind of interesting to see that stuff. I haven't seen these sort of analytics before on this podcast. So it was kind of interesting to see. But if you American listeners that are overwhelming majority of this. This audience. Hey, if you have any international friends, hey, how about turning them on? We could stand to bump up those numbers a tad, it's been really, really cool. And I think as of right now, we've had almost 170,000 total plays of this podcast. So pretty awesome stuff. And a way, like, man, I don't know how many of y'all have listened to my early episodes of this show when I just recorded me talking into my phone and just had my radio playing in the background, sometimes playing just my local radio station, or sometimes playing whatever Sea Hero song or album I was playing in the background or whatever. It's funny to think about where this thing has went. And you know, it's like, I remember being super excited when I found that anybody was listening. I remember being super excited when I hit like 10 listeners, which was super awesome. And now, like, it's just amazing where it's at. And you know, when you get to a point where you have, you know, somebody like Mike Rosso on your show from the FPP, wow, that's way beyond what I thought this thing would become. And just super excited about it. So just wanted to kind of get that out there. But all right, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. Let's see. You can see my photography on Instagram at Gutterman Photo, on Facebook at Mike Gutterman Photography. You can join the Facebook group that is the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. And let's see, you can follow us on Instagram. This podcast has an Instagram account under Negative Positives, mostly ran by Mr. Bryce Randall. If you post to Instagram, use the hashtag Negative Positives, and hopefully Bryce will see it and post it on the Instagram page as like a special, you know, just kind of highlight you on that. And Bryce is actually constructing some broken camera trophies for the winners of our Negative Positives podcast double exposure tag team challenge. And if you haven't signed up for that, look on the Facebook group if you're a member of that, and look under announcements, and you'll see where you can sign up. The Google Forms from Mr. Sean Nelson to sign up for that. If you're not on the Facebook group, be watching Sean Nelson's website, utahfilmphotography.com, where he will have a link on there to sign up for the Negative Positives double exposure tag team challenge. And wow, I guess that's it. So okay, everybody have a great week. We will have the actual midweek episode coming up on Thursday morning. I guess it is. No, Friday morning. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's Thursday morning. I think it's Thursday morning. Yeah. And that'll be with Simon Forrester of the Classic Lenses podcast. And so be on the lookout for that. So a little bonus episodes this week. So, all right, everybody have a great week. Everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos. Gutter Man Cave Production!